Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you did because our good buddy Scott Eblen is back with us, folks. Scott was an executive of an HR executive for many, many years and learned an awful lot about human beings and why they do what they do and an awful lot about leadership while he was doing that. He's now the president of the Eblen Group, and he helps his clients navigate the landscape of leadership and help them put their best foot forward. He wrote a book called The Next Level, which is outstanding, as you probably know by now, those of you who've seen it. And he's our good friend Scott Eblen. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. And how's the book doing?
You know, the book is doing great, actually. We are reaching more and more people with it. It's still really strong sales on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and those outlets. And we're doing a lot with the book. We're getting the message from the book to a whole lot of people in a whole lot of ways, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, congratulations. Let's talk a little golf.
Okay, a little sports this morning.
Yeah. Yep. Now I know you want to do a little comparison of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you're not comparing his swing to my swing,
but
he is such an interesting character. I remember when he first burst on the scene in terms of being a professional back in 99. And he just really, he had an incredible year that year. His first year was incredible.
No, yeah, and, the Masters.
But see, I'm old enough to remember when Jack Nicklaus was winning all the tournaments. I'm old enough to remember when Johnny Miller was winning all the tournaments and Nick Faldo and all the different guys, Greg Norman and there was a while Fred Couples was really, a lot, and of course Watson, those guys had their day. Nicklaus, Palmer was kind of first, then Nicklaus, but eventually all those guys, faded away. Tiger is not; he's had a longer run than I think those guys in terms of concentrating a lot of wins into a short period of time. And like the last seven in a row or something like that?
I think he's on a seven in a row run right now. Of course, he did the same thing last year. And I guess the deal with Tiger is he has won more tournaments more quickly. He's won so many more majors at this age. I think he's 32 now, and I don't know where Nicklaus
he's
a, was.
He's ahead of pace. But, he's ahead on pace for the guy that, who's got the most, and that's Nicklaus. But the thing about him is he's not only he's obviously a great athlete, but he's got the game, but he also controls the most important real estate in golf, and that's the 6 inches between their ears.
You bet. And I think that's, so what is it that separates Tiger? Clearly, he's just got an enormous set of gifts physically. But the mental game is the thing with him. And I think there's some lessons that all of us who own a business or are leading organizations can learn from Tiger. Golfers have a routine that they go through when they step up to the ball called a swing thought.
Pre-shot routine
in the swing thought. And, that goes on in other sports as well. But I think that whole idea of a swing thought is something that we can apply to the rest of our life. When I think about it and I watch what Tiger does, and like maybe in the Accenture match play a couple of weeks ago and just what he does consistently over the years, Tiger's doing two things. He talked about this in Golf Digest back in January. He's doing two things. The first is, what's the outcome that he's trying to create with that shot? So in Tiger's case, given his gifts, it's 340 yards slightly to the right of center.
Right.
Set myself up for eagle. That's the outcome. But the second piece is, how do I need to swing the club? How do I need to show up to make it likely that I get that outcome? And that two-step process, called swing thought, is one that I use with my clients all the time, and I use it myself. If I've got a meeting coming up, a sales call, important sales meeting coming up, or I've got a staff meeting or a town hall meeting with my employees where I'm sending the message, two questions to ask myself. What's the outcome I'm trying to create, and how do I need to show up to make that out, to make that outcome likely? Mm-hmm. You're just using that visualization technique that Tiger and all the great athletes use and applying that in a non-sports setting. What's the outcome? How do I need to show up to create it? And you're much more likely to be successful if you take some time on the front end to just visualize what you're doing and how you need to show up to do it.
You know, when I was trained by Xerox back in the 70s about how to be a better salesperson, they taught me something called a post-call analysis.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so I'd go on a sales call, and I would, and after I left, I would sit in my car and say, okay, what just happened? What did they say? How did I deal with it? And I would sit there and I'd say, okay, it'd be two or three outcomes. I'd say, boy, that really went badly. I'm glad nobody was there watching. I didn't handle that very well.
Right,
or I'd say, you know, wow, I wish my manager had been here. I did good in there. But then all of a sudden I realized that as long as I'm not going home for the day, or I'm not going to quit my job, every post-call analysis becomes a pre-call analysis.
Oh, yeah.
For the next one.
Well, I know you were talking about the military before I got on mm-hmm. with you. The Army calls that process an after-action review.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that is a part of the routine after every engagement, is that after-action review. What did we do well? What did we not do so well? And what can we learn about the next time we go out to do it even better the next time? You know, it's continuous improvement, right?
Now, yeah, exactly. Now, but in a golfer's case, most of the time, your swing thought is only about yourself. In a business setting, how much of our swing thought should be about the people we're going to be interacting with?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I go back to some of the stuff I talk about in the next level. There's a chapter on picking up custom-fit communications and letting go of one-size-fits-all communication. And it's a lot like swing thought. Given how, what am I trying to get across to this audience or to this group of people? What do I want mm-hmm. them to know, think, do, feel, or believe as a result of this communication? That's the outcome. And then the question is, how do I need to show up to send that message?
Right.
And, you know, and so if I'm presenting to the senior management team or the board of, let's say, the board of directors on an acquisition proposal. And I'm talking to a town hall meeting of all employees about the acquisition that we just made.
Right.
The topic is the acquisition, but how I'm going to show up mm-hmm. in those two meetings is going to be very different, because what they're looking for, the so what for them, is quite different between the board and the town hall meeting.
Hold on to that thought, Scott. We'll take a quick break, folks. It's 20 after. Scott Ebling is our guest. He's the author of The Next Level. Stay with us.
Stand by me.
We were talking about this swing thought, this pre-call analysis that I was talking about in sales, or mm-hmm. a pre-meeting evaluation, the swing thought, the process that you go through before you go into a situation I remember when I felt that I was getting really good at this. I remember feeling like a chameleon. I remember feeling like I still do today sometimes. If I know what I'm going into, and I try to imagine what's going to be happening when I go into a meeting or when I'm going to meet somebody for the first time, I try to imagine, you know, I don't want to preconceive what they're going to do. I don't want to micromanage it to that degree, to overanalyze it to that degree, but I try to go through a little bit of that, and then when I get in front of the person or the people, I try to take their lead, especially if I'm selling. I try to take their lead a little bit, and maybe I have to be a little bit of a chameleon. What do you think about that?
And taking their lead, I think you definitely have to tune in to where the other person is. You know, there's an interesting article in the science section of the New York Times a couple of weeks ago that studying about how people unconsciously mimic the people they're with. You know, so if the person I'm with leans in, mm-hmm. then a few seconds later, I might be inclined to lean in just because I'm mirroring their behavior. And in doing that, I establish a connection with that other person. So, yeah, I think you've got to be open and certainly not calculated and manipulative.
No.
If you move your right hand, I'm moving my right hand. But just really tuning into the, you know, to the intellectual and emotional space that they're in, and syncing up with that. Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense.
Well, you know, if somebody wants to talk about something you're not interested in, but you're, you know, it's important that this person, you and this person, make a connection, you know, you're going to become more interested in that all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah, you bet. You bet, absolutely. Yeah.
What are some other things that we need to do in order to have this, the proper pre-shot routine, and to have the right swing thoughts when we go into business settings?
You know, one of the things that I like to share with people, and you and I may have talked about this a few months ago, but is this three questions to ask yourself before any communication with anybody else. And the questions are really simple. It's what, so what, and now what. What do I want this person to know about? So what? Why should they care? And now what? What do I want them to know, think, do, feel, or believe as a result of the communication? I think just walking through that simple kind of game plan, so you're clear about your objectives, back to swing thought, clear about your outcomes and why it matters to them, and then thinking about how do I show up, you know, in order to do that. If we've got time for it, I'll tell you a quick story that always amuses me.
I like, before you do that, so it's what, so what, and now what?
Yeah, what, so what, now what?
What do they want? Why do they care about what I have to say? And if they actually do, and I'm like the dog who chased the car and caught it, now what do I do with it?
Yeah, what's the next step? What's the next step?
Prepare for success, too, don't you? I mean, isn't that another thing you have to do? I mean, prepare. Your idea may work.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and so what do we do now? You know, now that we've got it, what do we do?
All right, tell your story.
Yeah, so my quick story, you know, you remember Johnny Carson, of course.
Of course.
You know, King of Late Night. When Carson died, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, Letterman and Leno both did tribute shows to Carson, as they well should have done. And Letterman had Drew Carey on as a guest. And if you were a comedian, Jim, back in the 70s or 80s, what was your goal?
Oh, to be on the Tonight Show, question.
You wanted to be on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And it went really well. What happened?
He got invited over.
You got it. He invited you over to the couch. So they were talking about Drew Carey's first time on the Tonight Show. And Letterman said, let's show the clip of you on your first Tonight Show appearance. And so Drew Carey, about 30 pounds, you know, thinner than he is at that point. And he's doing his bit. It's going well. Johnny's loving it, laughing it. And he waves his hand, come on over to the couch. And Drew gets this look on his face like, what? Me? On the couch? You know, it's kind of like, couldn't believe it. And runs over and sits down on the couch like a little kid. And they come out of that clip, and Letterman's laughing, and he said, so what was all that about? And so Drew said, here's the thing. I found out 6 weeks before I was going on the show that I was going to be on the show, and I practiced in my living room every day for 6 weeks for 6 hours a day. And every time I finished the routine, I'd walk over and sit down on my couch. And I just couldn't believe it worked, you know. And that's the thing. You know, that is Drew Carey's version of a swing thought.
Right.
That's pretty funny. And so you don't have to be Tiger Woods. You can be Drew Carey and do the same thing. I think most of us maybe relate to Drew Carey better than we can to Tiger Woods. And
the main thing I think is just to put enough thought into what's going to happen, so that at least you're prepared for. I think you got to be prepared for multiple outcomes, and that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, you bet.
Yeah, you never know exactly which way it's going to go, but role playing with yourself, I think that's a lot of what you were talking about. That's I think that's important. Hey, Scott, will you come back another day?
I'll be happy to, Jim. Always enjoy it.
Give us your website. Tell us how to get the book.
Sure, it's eblingroup.com. EEB as in boy, LIN group.com. You can get it there, or you can get it on Amazon. The Next Level.
All right.
Let insiders know about executive success.
The Next Level. Thanks, Scott. See you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Talk to you soon.
Quick break. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.